Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. I'll tell you, I've been excited about messages before. But there's a different kind of excitement in this message that the Lord is going to share with you today. There's a wholesome excitement. Now, sometimes you can be excited about, you know, frivolous things. Nonetheless, you're still excited. I just sense a real wholesome expectation and excitement in what the Lord is about to share. We're going to read the first two verses of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." It says, walk in love. It says, be imitators of God. Why? Because God is love. And we walk in love because He is love. And the title, we're actually going to begin a series this morning. The title of the message, or the series, is Living the Love Life. Living the Love Life. I believe it's important, it's on God's heart to share this message on love. I realized Brother Danny's teaching on love. He didn't know that the Lord had weeks before already instructed me to get ready to teach on love. And so he's just doing what the Lord has told him to do on Wednesdays. And I shared with him that looks like the Lord is just going to start doing some of that on Sundays. And I'll tell you what. God's going to just keep at you with love until love is just coming out your, not your ears, your heart and your life, because there's some things, there's just some really interesting things the Lord has shown me in this particular aspect here. And I know we've already taught on love and all that, but there are just some things that God has just nailed down so well and just made it so obvious and clear that we can't avoid dealing with it, and it's to our benefit. You know, there are too many what I would call cosmetic Christians these days. You know what a cosmetic Christian is? Just for show. You know? And I don't, ladies, now don't get me wrong. I don't have anything against you using makeup if you use it right. You know, I just believe if you can tell you got makeup on, you probably have gotten to the heavy side. I think makeup can make a woman and accent her beauty. But when her beauty becomes the makeup, then I think it's time to kind of back up. Because we won't know which is you, the makeup or not, you see. And that's kind of like what we're getting at when we're talking about there just are too many what we would call cosmetic Christians. You know? You know what happens, ladies, I know you can appreciate this, so men, you're just going to have to stand by for a little bit here. But perhaps you've watched this, perhaps you've seen your wife on a very hot day, and you know it just that she was dressed up so nice and her hair was fixed up so pretty and she had all her makeup on, and for some reason or another you just, you know, were in a spot where it was really hot and, you know, she began to sweat and perspire, and next thing you know, her hair begins to droop, and now the makeup begins to run, and the mascara, you know, just doesn't hold its place, and what happens? They fall apart. I know when sometimes you ladies that wear mascara, when you cry and the tears run, unless you've got that no-run mascara, I don't know if they've invented that or not, but it seems like it would be a good idea, because sometimes, you know, what happens after a lady just sheds a tear, and, you know, it could be a tear of joy, but next thing you know, she's wearing a black eye. And you think she's in serious trouble. Well, like we're talking about cosmetic Christians, you know, I think are in the same sort of situation where they come apart when it gets hot. You know, when the heat's on, boy, those cosmetics just begin to run. And next thing you know, they don't look so good under heat. And I just believe that The Lord just kind of gave me a little bit of a saying to kind of put this right on home base with it. Love that's only skin deep will rub off when it's rubbed the wrong way. Let me say that again. Love that's only skin deep will rub off when it's rubbed the wrong way. And I believe we're talking about love, and that's where we're going to spend our time. But you know, what the Lord is trying to get at here is there are too many Christians that are walking around saying, I love you. Too many Christians saying, I'm pressing on with God. Boy, I must be a spiritual giant by now. But you know, they're really a cosmetic Christian because they come apart when things get hot. When they get rubbed the wrong way, their cosmetics come off, their makeup comes off, and then we get to see really what they're made out of. We get to see them in the flesh. No pun, of course. I'll say that again. We get to see them in the flesh. Do you know what that means? The mascara, the makeup comes off and you see their real flesh, but there's a real sense you really see their flesh. Well, we'll just go on. You catch up later, I guess. That wasn't even in the notes. Praise the Lord. We won't add it either. We have taught on love. And some time ago we taught a message on love that costs nothing is worth nothing. And we also taught a series on 16 steps to excellence. Personally, not because it was my teaching that the Lord had given me, but I believe that's one of our better series. And you know, it doesn't happen to be one of our best sellers. Interesting. Well, because love takes work, and superficial love is exposed very easily. You see? You can tell when love is there. Just rub it the wrong way and it'll come off if it's not real. If it's only skin deep. And so when a person makes a commitment to love, they can tell right away whether they're succeeding or not. You see? And love takes an effort. It takes work. And if it's in any way cosmetic or superficial, it'll be exposed almost immediately. You'll know it, and other people will know it. And so I think for some reason, you know, we're in a busy society. You know, love involves other people. Did you know that? I know the Bible says love yourself, and you do that because in that way, knowing who you are in Christ, you can love others. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about this kind of love. You know, love is not love until it's what? Given away. So love involves somebody else besides yourself. And oh, does that take your time? Or does that make you go out of your way? Or does that make you have to consider them now, not just yourself? You know? It used to be, before I was married, I just had to take care of Dick McKinnon. And when I got married, it was Kathy and Dick. And then we had some children, and it became Kathy, Dick, Scotty, Jay, and Matthew. And, you know, my life began to expand as far as being concerned. And so when you're in the family of God, I don't know how many people are here. There's over 200 perhaps. But in this family, you know, you're just not one person. You've got to be in consideration of every member here. And you know what? To some people, they just don't want to be bothered. They just think that that's not within their responsibility, but the Bible says different. And because it takes an effort, and because it is a responsibility, I think it takes more endurance, and perhaps there seem to be other things in the Bible that are so much more spiritual, because if one thing, I think love has been talked about, you know, and just gone over in teachings and different things like that. And love is used so freely as a word, so most people think they've got a handle on it. There's no need to go into that. Let's get into some end time stuff. Or let's get into some heavy faith teaching. Or let's do things like that. Because they think that they're able to walk perfectly in love. The fact of the matter is that everything has to be based on love. And you won't go anywhere, at least with God. You may think you're traveling in the high places as far as the spiritual realms on your own, but unless you're doing it with a foundation of love, you won't be doing anything as far as God is concerned. We're going to be teaching a series, as I said, on living the love life, and we're going to talk about some things. And I'm not sure if these are all separate teachings. Some of them look like they are, and I'm not sure if this is the order that we're going to cover them. But I believe these are the things that we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about the importance of love. We're going to be talking about the royalty of love. We're going to be talking about the essence of love. We're going to be talking about the force of love. We're going to be talking about the loyalty of love. And then we're going to be talking about keeping yourself in love. And God has already filled pages on those things. So I know there's enough to carry us. And we're going to take our time, because I know God wants this word soaked in your heart. And after today, I believe you'll see why it has to be soaked in your heart. That you have to be so soaking with love that if anybody squeezes you, that's all that comes out. Love. Somebody gives you a big hug. Love. Somebody gives you a punch. Love. No matter how anybody moves you, under pressure or whatever, it's always love comes out. So the only way we can be sure that that's what's going to come out is to put enough love in so you're just saturated with love. And you're going to see that this is not something that's just a nice idea, that this is actually something that should be the way it is. It should be that the only thing, the only response that you have is love. You don't know anything but love. You don't know bitterness. You don't know anger. You don't know anything but love. You see? And if you can get to that point, and we're believing you can, we're going to show you a way to that, then I believe you're going to have some areas in your life where God will have the freedom to move where you've been desiring Him to move, perhaps, and yet you haven't realized why He's not been able to. We're not going to cover, there's one in dealing with one of the teachings, we're going to review some of the things that we taught on the 16 steps to excellence, but in no way, shape, or form are we hardly even going to touch that teaching. So this teaching on living the love life, I would say, is the practical side of applying it. See, we taught on what it was, and 16 steps to excellence, some of you know, are the 16 characteristics of love, given in 1 Corinthians 13. And so we talked about love is patient, what that means, love is kind, what that means, and all that. So that's what 16 Steps to Excellence is all about. So we're just assuming that if you need more, when we say love, you should know what love means. You should know what love means. And if you don't, take the time to make yourself available to those tapes, because you need to know what love is. It's not something, just a four-letter word that rolls easily off our lips. It's something that will change your lifestyle. And if it doesn't change your lifestyle, we've got some questions to ask you. And we'll show you later why. All right. The importance of love. That's what we're going to deal with today. The importance of love. I believe the impact of why this teaching is so important and appropriate right at this moment is God told me how important love is, by just showing me in the Word. And just so that we don't miss something, take the time to write out 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, which talks about love is. And put it somewhere where you can look at it all the time. Put it on a card and keep it in your pocket or do something. Because I believe you need to keep the Word of God before you. And I just believe in this area, if you really want to pursue what God has for you here, that you'll take the time to make yourself aware and meditate on what those things are. Because when we say some things that we're going to be talking about here, that it's the proof that you're a disciple of Christ, and it's a commandment, you got to know what Jesus means when He said love. You got to know what He means. You can't be acting one way and saying, well, I'm loving. You can't be saying, I'm a disciple, and not doing what Jesus said. And I believe we're going to read through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, so why don't you turn there? But keep in mind the fact that you've got to learn, and you've got, you know, I would even recommend that you memorize all these characteristics of love, because when God says love, this is what should be coming out of you. When someone squeezes you, you know, Love comes out, but it comes out in one of these 16 characteristics. It comes out in patience. It comes out in kindness. It comes out in not being jealous. It comes out in not bragging. It comes out in not being arrogant. It comes out in not being unbecoming. It comes out in not being provoked. You see, if you're provoked, you're not in love. If you're impatient, you're not in love. It's a strong message, but I believe that the Lord has a real purpose in doing this, and there's going to be some insight. Some of you have had some questions about certain things, and I believe the Lord's just going to answer them for you. Let's begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. It says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." Now, I know almost everybody here has read these three verses, but let the Lord put the impact in your heart about what He has to say about love. All right? Because we're talking about the importance of love, and if God puts a high priority on it, then we need to put a high priority on it. In fact, God puts it up as number one. Verse 2, "And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned and do not have love, it profits me nothing." Before we read the rest of that, it says if we know all mysteries and have all knowledge but do not have love, we are nothing. Do you know what nothing is? That is zero, zip. That's, you know, flatter than, you just can't say that it's less than that. You are nothing. So if God says you don't have love, but you've got all this knowledge and everything, if you don't have love, God says, forget it. Forget it. You are nothing. That's strong for the Lord to say that. He goes on to say, even if you have all faith so as to move mountains, but you don't have love, He says, faith or not, you are nothing. You are nothing. Boy, that's a challenging statement. To think God has everything so centralized around love. God says, listen, you can just feed your mind. You can be the faith giant of the century. But if you don't have love, your score sheet in heaven is zero. Yeah, God keeps a score sheet. You're going to be rewarded according to your good deeds. Huh? Wood, hay, and stubble will all be burnt up, but that which remains, you're going to be given rewards according to what is good. So God keeps the score sheet. So if you're doing things and it's not based on love, working through love, if you're not, when we get down into these next four verses here, if you're not in love in what you're doing, zip on the score sheet. I don't care how many times you confess it, how many souls you lead to the Lord, if you're not doing it in love, zip on the score sheet. And when I began to see that, I said, oh Lord, how many people are going to be before you on that day? And because they were getting things done, the word works, folks, whether you're in love or not. Did you know that? The anointing's on the word. It's living and active. So you can get things done. But if you're not in love, I believe there are going to be people who come before God on that day expecting, oh, heaps and heaps of reward. And they're going to find that because they did not have love involved with what they were doing, that it's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. It's just going to burn up and it's going to be zero on the score sheet. I believe some people are in store for some surprises when they get to see God. And I don't believe God wants you to have any surprise. I believe God has given us His Word so that we can know what's going on. It says, if you give all your possessions to feed the poor and deliver your body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits you nothing. All your religious activity, all what you would say is denying self, all of what you would say would be the crucified life, it is zip, folks, if you don't have love. It doesn't count. That's what God is saying. You can't do anything apart from love. Where's this been? Sounds like God has put something in my heart that hasn't been there. Yes, He has. He's been working on my heart for some time and giving me an appreciation for what he desires and what he says is most important. And until we see this, that everything we do has to be in love, otherwise it profits us nothing. Everything we do has to be in love, otherwise it's zip on the score sheet. And I don't believe that we're just, you know, looking at our rewards in heaven as the reason why we're doing things. I don't mean to give you that impression. But I'm just telling you, as far as I'm concerned, is God pleased with what I'm doing? I want God to be pleased, don't you? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, then, if we want him to be pleased, then certainly we want to do things with his purpose in mind. So whenever we do something, we've got to be sure that love is flowing. Love is involved. And so all you need to do is take a check on what love is. If you're doing something that's not in kindness, if you're doing something that is manifesting as impatience, but you're doing it anyway, glory to God, I'll take care of this, no problem. Mm-hmm. Forget it. Forget it. Stop. Get it right. Then go on. And you find that there's fullness of joy by staying in love. Huh? Let me just share a little secret with you. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. What is God? Love. Stay in love, and you can stay in the presence of the Lord. Amen? That's why you have to do it in love. That's why you have to be in love. Amen. All the religious works and achievements will account for nothing if you don't have love. Let's go on and read what love is. Love is patient, in verse 4. Love is kind and not jealous. Love does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. In other words, thinks no evil, speaks no evil, hears no evil. It's like those three monkeys. That's what love is. Love will be that way. Love does not... Why? Because love doesn't even know that a wrong occurred. Love takes... It says love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Why? Love covers a multitude of sins. Love doesn't even know a wrong was committed. And we're going to see some things about the royalty of love that are just going to astound you. Just what the Lord has just put in my heart there concerning the royalty of love. But let's go on. It says, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away with. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as also I also have been fully known. Verse 13, but now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. God set it up, said, all right, number one in the kingdom is L-O-V-E, not F-A-I-T-H. Huh? Number one is L-O-V-E. And we're going to find how F-A-I-T-H fits in. But it's L-O-V-E, love first. And also in verse 1 of chapter 14, it says, pursue love. It says to pursue love. That's what God wants us to do, is to pursue love. I believe the Amplified gives it says, eagerly pursue love and make it your quest. If someone's reading from an Amplified. Does anybody have an Amplified here? Why don't you read it out loud? Okay, make it your aim and make it your quest. Seek eagerly love. And we're going to see why it's that way. So the greatest is love, and we're to pursue love. We're talking about the importance of love right there. We just got enough to go home with. You know, I mean, we got enough to know that God wants us to get in touch with love And he's even told us what love is. So it's like we have no excuse. We just don't. He made it right down, put it right on our doorstep and said, here it is. Love is number one. Pursue it eagerly. Make it your aim and your quest. And this is what it is. You don't even have to open the package. Just turn to 1 Corinthians 13. It's all there. He's left it so that there's no question about what he desires. It's a commandment given by Jesus. I want you to turn with me over to John chapter 15. I know these scriptures are familiar, but I want the impact of what God is doing, because we've got some things to share with you that will only be as carry the emphasis as much as you see what God is doing here and what God has said. And some of these I know I'll review, but I want you to just read them and let the Lord just speak to your heart, because they were that way with me, but the Lord just had me read through them. Let's read 15 of the Gospel of John, verses 12 and 13, and then we're going to jump down to verse 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Jesus has given us this commandment, and the commandment is that you love one another. What's love? 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. We're going to talk some more about that later on, but let's read verse 17. This I command you, that you love one another. It sounds like he's hot on love. It sounds like he's saying, listen, you can maybe, you know, pussyfoot around with some of the other things, but this thing, this is a command. You do it, you're right. You don't do it, you're wrong. And you're going to see, to the extent that it's wrong, if you don't make love your quest and your aim, if you're not becoming more perfect in love, then you've missed what God has for you. And really, you may end up in a place of not knowing where you are. Because the scriptures say, I want to back up to John 13 before we get into the next one. The scriptures say that we are disciples of Christ by our love, and that's, we're going to read verse 34 before we do that. This is the proof that we are disciples of Christ. And I've seen where people want to go out and they want to become spiritual giants. They want to do this, they want to do that. They read all about, you know, Christ's life, and they say, well, he did this way and that way, this way and everything. All you need to know is one thing about Christ. It's L-O-V-E. Huh? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. Huh? The Word was God, the Word is God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. God equals love equals Jesus equals the Word. You know what that the axiom is, that anything that's equal to another thing is equal to each other? So you can just draw that equation. God equals love, because God is love. Love equals Jesus, because Jesus is God, right? Jesus also the Word, right? Made flesh. So we got all those things. God, love, Jesus, the Word. And that's all you need to know is L-O-V-E. That's the pursuit. Now, God will tell you how to put that into your life and how to make it work for you. But that's the aim. That should be our aim. We're going to see why that's important. We're not in any way, shape, or form taking away from the importance of the Word and the practical instructions that are given there. But this should be the foundation. We should have this all taken care of in our understanding before we begin to indulge in so-called deeper things of the Spirit. Can you see that? See, if we don't have it working at this level, then we've missed a whole part of what God has done and we're supposed to be doing. And so it says in verse 34 of chapter 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. All men will know us not by our great faith, not by our great knowledge of the Scriptures, not by our great religious works, not by how successful we were in our job or
ministry. No. It says, all men will know us by the love we have for one another. That's how God wants us to be known by all men. Turn it around that way. So the highest characteristic or the most outstanding thing about us to the world should be that we have love for one another. Huh? Some people thought, well, if I could become a faith giant, then other people would recognize me. If I could become just a whiz kid in the scriptures, then other people would recognize me. Thus, no. That's not how I want them. See, you can get recognition for being a whiz kid. Sure you can. People will be blessed by what you can share, knowledge of the scriptures. Even in your faith, all your testimonies. Bless people, inspire them. But you know, God says, I don't want you to be known for that. I want you to be known for the love you have for one another. So you can have all those great faith testimonies. That's what God wants, because that gives glory to God. We're still to shine. Let our light shine, you know, so that our works may be obvious to men and they would give glory to God. You know, that they may see our works and give glory to the Father in heaven. God wants that to take place. But he says, the most outstanding thing I want you to be known by is your love for one another. That's the umbrella. Everything is underneath that, you know. The great faith testimonies, the insight God gives you in the Word, and bless God for the faith testimonies, and bless God for all the inspiration in the Word, but the umbrella is love. Everything fits underneath that, you know. It's like when they see you, they see that umbrella. They see love. And if they want more, they can see all the faith testimonies. They can see all that God has shared with you in the Word of God, all those things, but it's all under the umbrella of love. Well, it's proof that you're a disciple if you have love for one another. What's love? 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, right? You've got to say that's what love is, because sometimes when you read L-O-V-E, it doesn't register. It just, love, that's when I give my little boy a hug. I'm loving him. Well, that's a sort of love, but you want to know what the God kind of love is. You want to know what God is talking about when he says love one another. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. And you have to have that clicking in your mind all the time. When you see love, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8. Why is love important? Or what is the importance of love? It's proof that you're a child of God. I mean, that hits home. You know, and 1 John, let's take a look at it, chapter 3 and verse 10. God put all these things together and said, you want to know how important love is? You want to know how much I think about love? And all these scriptures just came popping up. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10 through 14. It says, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is of God. Well, praise the Lord. That would be without question, right? Anybody that's practicing unrighteousness, you'd say he's not of God. But then it goes on to say, nor the one who does not love his brother. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. That is a powerful statement, folks. That is one powerful statement. It says that you're going to be considered a child of God if you love your brother, or if you do not love your brother, you're not of God. That is just a heavy statement. Let's go on and read. It says, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of life into out of death into life, because we love the brethren.
He who does not love abides in death.
Oh, if you choose not to love, the Bible says you abide in death. Death is destruction. It's like the opposite of life. And perhaps some of you have just had some, you know, real difficulty in your life because you've not been abiding in love. See, if you abide in love, you'll abide in life. But if you're not in love, you're going to abide in death. Your spiritual life is just going to be drained out of you. You'll shrivel up on the vine, so to speak. That's what it says. It says, he who does not love abides in death. So if you're not making a quest out of love, if you're not seeking to love, you're going to abide in death. I don't know, the impact of that is intense. You want to know why your life perhaps isn't as vibrant as it should be. When you were a Christian, you had the love of God flowing through you. When you first were born again, that's one thing that was outstanding. You just had the love of God just pouring through you. I mean, you were just a sponge. The love of God would come out just at any time. Someone would just come close to you. But see, what happens is you stop making that love your aim and quest. And as a result, things get kind of dry, and spiritually there wasn't as much intensity perhaps. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. In the presence of love, there's fullness of joy, because God is love. There's a secret there, and I believe God has just told us that if we want to abide in life, we're going to have to love the brethren. If we want the other side, then we're going to see the results of death in our life. It'll be spiritually working against the Spirit of God. Let's read 1 John 4:12 and 13. It's the next page over. It says, no one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. If we love one another, you know, we know that we're abiding in him if we love one another. He puts a lot of emphasis on that. All right. We're going to be talking about some of those things perhaps later, but the importance of love, it's a proof. It's proof that, first of all, it's a commandment. It's proof that you're a disciple. It's proof that you're a child of God. A child of God will pursue love because that's what God is. You take Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. People talk about seeking the kingdom. God is love, and his kingdom is love. His kingdom is a reflection of him, isn't it? So there's a sense in which love is everything. You say, Dick, you're making it just too general. The Bible says the whole law is fulfilled by love. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. It says, love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Chapter 13 of Romans 8, 9, and 10. It says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, that's everything that God would ever have to say, huh? Isn't that what I'm saying? That's just not Old Testament. That's saying, and if there's any other thing, commandment, that's assumed an instruction from God, and if there's any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Galatians 5:14 says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. L-O-V-E. We're not trying to make it oversimplified, but that's what the Bible says it is. It's summed up. Everything is summed up. Seeking God, seeking righteousness, is summed up in that.
We're not saying that this is the only thing the Bible teaches, because there was a time when perhaps if someone began to preach at me or teach at me in this fashion, I begin to say, well, brother, you just don't know. You're just taken away from the Word of God. And there are places in certain charismatic circles where that's all they do is love, nothing else. They don't teach that there's anything else. In other words, almost to the extent of, well, you know, push the Word of God aside and then let's get loving each other. No, we're not saying that. What we're saying is the foundation of everything we do, the umbrella for everything, has to be L-O-V-E, because it's all summed up in love. Everything, the whole law, whatever God would have us do is summed up in that one word. And so what we need to do is have that as a foundation. So anytime we step off to do anything, anytime we go in any direction, our feet are founded on love. Our spiritual life is founded on the foundation of love. And whatever we do, it's in love. Speak to a neighbor, speak to a brother. Whatever we do or say should be done in love. Otherwise, it's not going to profit anything. It says in Colossians 3, it says, love is the perfect bond of unity. See if we can just kind of wind things up here. Love is the perfect bond of unity. We're talking about the importance of love. And right away, Colossians tells us something very, very important about love, and we'll deal with this in more detail later. But it talks about it in verse 12 and through 14. Love is the perfect bond of unity. And it says, and so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, bearing one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Now, I don't know, but that just sounds like we just quoted 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, doesn't it? It's not saying any more than what love is. It's saying the same thing, and it says, beyond all these things, put on love. In other words, love is that umbrella that covers all those things. All those things we just talked about. So beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Love holds things together. Love is super glue. Huh? What do you think about something being bonded together? Huh? You think about something, you take a vase that was broken and you get some of that super glue and it says it'll never come undone. That guy that hangs from his hat from an I-beam that he's glued up there, see, it works so good. It'll never come apart. Love holds things together. It is the supernatural glue of God. It will hold it. It will never fail. Huh? The Bible says that this kind of glue will never fail. You put it together and it'll stay forever. Love is the perfect bond of unity. And something that's perfect never fails. And what is it doing? It's holding together two pieces. Something that's united means it's at least more than two pieces, right? Something that's unified? Huh? Something that's united normally doesn't come in one piece. It was in pieces before. And now it needs to be put together. And love is the very thing that not only puts it together in harmony, but keeps it there. That's why it's a perfect bond. That's why it's a perfect bond. If a ministry doesn't have love, guess what? It comes unglued. Oh, some lights just went on out there. Ding, ding, ding. I can see them going on through the congregation. Love makes you stick together when things try to separate you. Some of you have been asking, why? What's happening? I don't understand. I just don't understand. I saw so-and-so here yesterday and he's not here today. I was just talking to Sister so-and-so on the phone. And she's not here today. Love is the perfect bond of unity. It never fails. When God puts it together with love, it stays together because love never fails. Love never fails. There's been some things in our ministry that we've had to overcome. And one of the things we have not had to overcome is error. We just haven't, because we don't believe. If you know in any area where we're teaching something that's not right, well, you be sure to let us know. But in all my discussions with people, well, it's not that it's not really something I can put my finger on. I just not exactly show you from the scripture, but I feel it in my heart. You know what's not in the heart? L-O-V-E. Because if it was in the heart, there would be no separating us. Now some are going to just, I don't know how it happens, but it seems like people get tapes from this ministry to other ministries before some of you get them. I just don't know. I just praise God, the word's going out. But I just know before the week is out, this message will be all over. But I trust it brings an answer to some of those people. Because when you can't put your finger on it, it's, oh, well, the word is just it's diluted. No. Can't use that excuse either. Kind of use that one. I believe that a ministry that's founded on love will stick together through thick or thin. It doesn't make any difference because it's held together with the right ingredients. You find any other glue and you try to work with it, and if it's not God's glue, if it's not love, it'll break down somewhere along the line. It will. It will. Now, I'm not trying to pick on or criticize or anything like that. I'm giving you the reason. I believe this is the reason. If we do not have unity, it's because we don't have enough glue. Super glue. Amen. See if I can get some things here. I want to read a prophecy given to me by a sister back in April. And I've been just holding on, and the Lord has just given this to me as some insight. And I'll just share it with you because I believe it's of the Lord and gives some insight. And this is, you know, back in April sometime. I'll just read it for you, and you can let the Lord minister to your heart. And it was a prophecy given directly to me on this paper. Keep watch, be on guard, for the enemy would snare your foot with a snare created by a slur on the lips of his plight. Recognize and understand that which I have entrusted to you. See with your heart the places I have been leading you, for if with the heart you are perceiving, you shall not be snared with carelessness. The depth of this realm I've brought you into is far beyond your imagination. For I've longed to meet with you in this place for many years. And I believe that's many years in terms of my own personal life with the Lord. It says, it is, says the Lord, the core of that which I've waited for since the beginning. I assume that being the beginning of the ministry. Unconditional, unadulterated love for one another is found and loosed here, causing a chain reaction of unity, deliverance, and rest for my church. Yes, this is my church, holy, spot-free, perceiving that which I'm doing in preparation for my beloved to come home. Be not snared and brought down, for as I've shown you and will show you, I have much to accomplish. Keep watch and be on guard. The place where the Lord has been leading has not been an easy place to go, because it doesn't seem like in the natural it's the wise thing to do. But nonetheless, we're going to keep doing it as long as the Lord keeps saying that's right. Amen. And we'll get to the place eventually where God wants us, because I believe we're all being in a state of perfection. There was a church we visited some time ago, and on the wall in that church, it's a new church, and it said, "This is the church that love is building." I thought, oh, that was just so cute. I mean, I just really got a blessing out of it. This is the church that love is building. But then the light went on. The light went on that God is love. And this is the church that God is building. But they chose to put it the other way and say, this is the church that love is building. And you know what I've been doing lately in the scriptures? Every time I see God, I put love. And boy, you'd be surprised what you can see. It just puts a whole new dimension in the Word of God. When you see God or the Lord, you put love. And so I went over to Psalm 127, and verse 1 it says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Wow. Unless love builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. I said, oh Lord, I thought we were going to build this house by faith. Not without love, you won't. Because faith worketh by love, Galatians 5, right? And all along I say, Lord, praise God, we're going to bust through these barriers and faith is going to build this. And suddenly I realize, love's got to build it. Because God is love. And unless love builds the house, they labor in vain. And so some people have said, well, we've changed as a ministry. Praise God. You know, always praise God. Some people have just been a little unsettled, but you know, God is saying, listen, it's got to be love that's going to build this thing. Not faith, not works. It's got to be love that's going to build this house. Otherwise, we labor in vain. And you've heard me say time and time again, if I knew for a minute that it was my effort or my works that was building this, I would quit. I would. I don't have any reason to stay except God put me here. And I think that's good enough. But you see, God is changing the ministry and getting our eyes open to what's important. At one time we thought, well, faith, that's it, man. We just get a hold of everything and apply our faith and it's going to work. No, faith worketh by love. And except love build a house, they labor in vain. So I think I might just borrow that statement. Ask that brother if I could just use that. And just say, well, you know, this is the church that love is building, because that's the truth. We want it to be that way from this point on, that this is the church that love is building. This is the church that love is building. If love isn't building this church, then it's not being built by God. If love is not building any church, it's not being built of God. It's being built by man or by some other means. In 1 Timothy 1:5, it says, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. You know what the goal of our teaching is supposed to be? L-O-V-E. Paul says the goal of our instruction is love. Why? Because everything is summed up in that one word. It's so obvious, most people miss it. And I don't plan on being one who misses what God is doing. I want to be in touch with the heartbeat of God so that whenever He needs to say anything to me, He can just speak it and it'll be done. I don't care what it costs, what it means, except that I do what He says, and that's all I need. And everything else will fall into place. Everything else, because then He will be building the house with me. You see, I won't be laboring in vain. I'll be building the house with Him. He won't be building the house with me. Huh? See, he's not helping me, is he? No, I'm helping him to whatever extent he needs me. He does need men, right? I'm not saying anything out of school now. He does need men to do the work of the gospel, so I'm not trying to be proud in saying that. I'm just saying that God wants to use us, but He wants us to be in touch with Him and know what He expects. Our goal is going to be love because God is love. Some brother, I'm not sure if the Lord just showed Brother Steve this, Steve Janice or not, and I think I've got what you said right. But he says, you know, something came to my heart. He says, we used to be a faith ministry that teaches love. He says, but I believe that now God is changing us into a love ministry that teaches faith. Huh? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We used to be a faith ministry that teaches love, and now God is changing us into a love ministry that teaches faith. Why? Because faith worketh by love. Love has to be the foundation. Let me close with the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. Because it says above all, that means how important it is, above all, above faith, above all is above all, isn't it? Doesn't that mean that it's right at the top? Can't get any higher? Above all? Okay. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Above all speaks of the importance. Amen? Have you gained in your understanding? Well, we're going to be talking about some good things, and I trust that you'll be ready to receive what the Lord has for you next time, because there's more excitement in the Word of God. Amen. Let's all stand.